Next on The Balanced Word, take some time out to appreciate what mothers do for us and see what a good mother looks like.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hand and the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
When you stop to think of it, our moms do and have done so much for us. They're often the first to offer help to us in our hour of need. They love us through thick and thin, and often do things for us that often go underappreciated. Like cooking, doing our laundry, or cleaning up after us. Today on The Balanced Word, Pastor Dave Rolfe spends some time looking at what a good mother looks like, leading us to appreciate them all the more. This is part of our series in the Proverbs called Smarter Living. Join us in chapter 31 if you would.
Now, the chapter begins by saying the words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. So this is what King Lemuel learned from his mom. Basically, his mother was telling him about women. All you guys know, there is no way in the world that we could possibly understand women, but moms try to teach their boys about women the best they can. Now, the identity of King Lemuel has been a little bit controversial because as soon as there's something that it doesn't say it clearly, people start to try to figure it out. There's no king that we know of in the history of Israel named King Lemuel. And so I agree with probably the majority of commentators and stuff that this was actually King Solomon. That's how it ended up in Proverbs. Now, why would he be called King Lemuel? That was probably a pet name that his mom had for him. Remember when Solomon was born, the circumstances of his birth, you know, King David had, you know, seen Bathsheba and had desired her. Her husband was off Uriah fighting the war, and so he called for her and she came and he ended up impregnating her, then having her husband killed to cover up his sin, and then bringing her in like he was magnanimous to help her. So it was kind of a negative thing. She ended up losing that child. And then she became pregnant again, and that son was Solomon. Now, the name Solomon comes from the Hebrew word that means peace or shalom. It was like, okay, finally, things have settled down. But if you read about Solomon's birth, it says David named him Solomon, but God said, call him Jedidiah. And Jedidiah means a gift from God, a gift from the Lord. Well, Lemuel in Hebrew means given or dedicated to God. And so you could understand where Bathsheba, seeing this as a gift from God and a gift to God, where she could have easily come up with this nickname. Now, Bathsheba is such an interesting character. Often people only think about her as, oh, she had an affair with the king and then her poor husband was killed and everything else. But look at it in their culture from her perspective. Well, when the king sends a messenger to you, you don't say no. You have to do what you have to do. In the meantime, her husband was off fighting a war. And if you've ever known or been a military wife, you have a sense of what it would be like, especially in those days, that your husband is gone and you don't know how long he's going to be gone. You don't even know if he's going to return. And you just do what you can. You just adjust however you need to. And so Bathsheba was a person who just took whatever circumstance came to her and made the best of it. Now, as a mom, knowing that her son would be, Solomon, would be in a kind of a negative situation because David had other wives and other kids before she came along. And so certainly she was looking out for her little boy and wanting him to have the best. And yet still in a position with David where he's the king and I'm one of his subjects. And so Solomon growing up as a little boy in that kind of an environment But then when you read when David was about to die, one of his sons, Adonijah, who was the younger brother of Absalom, the king who had actually thrown David out of the throne for a while, announced that he was becoming king, and they were beginning to celebrate, and Solomon wasn't invited to the celebration party. Neither was Bathsheba, of course. Neither were a few of the closest friends of David. But then Bathsheba and, you know, David's closest advisor began to talk. And so Bathsheba ends up going in before David, who was very old and frail at the time. And in kind of double-teaming him with Nathan, the prophet, who was just a dear friend of David's, the one who had confronted him about Bathsheba and Uriah in the first place, talked to David and said, "Didn't you say that Solomon, who was a young teenager at the time, didn't you say that he would become king? Well, Adonijah's out there and declaring himself to be king." And so together they said, you know, it worked. And David said, "No, I want Solomon to be king," and placed him on the throne, and they began to make announcements, and people began to switch, and now all of a sudden, Adonijah's in a really bad spot because he jumped the gun and he declared himself to be king. But now, remember, Bathsheba and Solomon are in a shaky situation. David's too old to do much about it. He's about to die. He would shortly die. But they courageously, Bathsheba, stuck up for her son, risking her own life and his as well. Ultimately, Adonijah was killed after David died because he was trying to still work out a coup. So this tough mom, Bathsheba, who would do anything for her boy, for her son, and who had the courage and the conviction to step out. Then, as her son became king, it says that Solomon gave Bathsheba a little throne next to his. She became his closest advisor when he became king. And so, as the years went by, and certainly she died, and he enjoyed all the privileges of becoming king, he began to marry women. And Solomon picked really poorly, hundreds and hundreds of times. Now, when you see what his mother told him about what to look for in a woman, and then you look at the women that he actually chose, you know, she was telling him, go for quality. But he kept marrying princesses from all over the place and suffered and paid the price for it. Well, I think now in his life, he's realizing, I don't think I listened to my mom the way I should have. And so now as he's recounting what she told him, I believe he's also describing what she showed him in the kind of woman that she was, who faithfully did what she needed to do, who loved her family, who was loyal and trustworthy and really a special woman. And so in a sense, this chapter is a tribute to his mother, Bathsheba, somebody who maybe a lot of people don't really elevate her, don't appreciate the power of who she was and what she did and what she did for her son, what she did for her husband, what she was willing to go through. And so this tribute to her tells us an awful lot about what women can be. But it's also, you know, it's important to say that as you see what he says here, in a lot of ways, you see the qualities that he lays out. You see ways in which women are special, even compared to men. There are ways in which, I mean, people will sometimes call the females the weaker sex. But man, there are, and guys, you know this, there are ways in which women are way better than we are. And this chapter is sort of a celebration of the ways in which that's really true, and so appropriate for us to look at. Now, as she talks to him, first of all, she says, look, don't give your strength to women. Well, he didn't listen to that. He ended up compromising himself with the wrong kind of women. And then she says, and don't drink, that's stupid. And, you know, he didn't listen to that either. And then he talked about, she talked about being a good person, judging righteously, and pleading the cause of the poor and needy. All those things are good. Then in verse 10, he says, and here's what she told me, and here's what she showed me about what a good woman looks like. Now, it's an interesting, it's a poem in the Hebrew from verse 10 on to the end of the chapter. Each verse, it's an acrostic, meaning that each verse starts with a consecutive letter of the alphabet. So verse 10 begins with a word that starts with the Aleph and then Beth, Gimel, Daleth, Hey, so on through the alphabet. Imagine even taking the time to write something that's sensible that starts with A, then B, then C, then D. So some time and energy went into this, and it's really beautiful in the Hebrew to see how the language flows. But he says in verse 10, who can find a virtuous wife, or literally just a virtuous woman, for her worth is far above rubies. One of the first things that we see is in verse 11, he says, the heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. The first thing he says about his mom and about what she taught him about women is trustworthiness. Now, again, this isn't that every woman is always trustworthy, but it's true. There are women who inspire us with their loyalty. Sometimes their loyalty even to a fault, where you have a woman who's just totally mistreated and they continue to be supportive of a person who is victimizing them, and yet looking at that as a strength, it's like, wow, you can trust them. They're special in that way. But as he goes on, he describes her as being, in verse 13, she seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. And on down through this passage, he's talking about what a hard worker she is. And there is no doubt about it. You look at what the life of a mom is like. You look at the capacities of women to work hard, tirelessly, into the night, early in the morning. Certainly, that was something that he witnessed in his mom. And certainly, that was something that she was saying, man, find somebody who works hard with her hands. Now, again, instead, he tended to go with princesses who had never worked a day in their lives, who had no sense of what it is to work at all. And that was to his demise. Those princesses he married ended up, he had to work really hard just to keep them supported in the way they had become accustomed. And then, you know, as a result of that, they led him astray because they had a lot of time on their hands, a lot of idleness, and they weren't willing to work. But his mom had told him, find a girl who knows how to work, who will actually get in there and do something. I think, you know, in this day and age sometimes, and in our culture, we have sort of made this caricature that a woman shouldn't work. A woman shouldn't be, you know, hardworking. They should be living the life of luxury. And you get that from the media. And yet there's something about a woman who works hard that's really special, and it's really important to bring value. And then she goes on, it goes on in verse 14. She's like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it's yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. We sometimes, again, look at like, oh, preparing dinner, big deal. But let's think about it, guys. What would you eat if you didn't have a woman to prepare food for you? Where would you go? How would you do that? You know, we look at, oh, you just throw a meal together. You ever try to do that? I'm amazed when I watch what the work that my wife does in just preparing a meal for two. or sometimes even for one, if she's not eating, but she goes to all this stuff. Now, in a man's mind, I look at it and go, it's a waste of time. Let's just go out. Let's order a pizza. Let's just go ahead and, you know, throw some cheese in a tortilla and throw it in the microwave and have some hot sauce and eat a quesadilla. But women, in a really special way, and men, if you are, you know, great gourmet chefs and everything, I'm not saying that, oh, you're not special in this way too. I'm just saying you're more like a woman. But but women have this thing of wanting to feed and nurture. And again, if you're a woman and you don't like to cook and that's not something special, that's okay. You know, nobody measures up to all of these things. But it was important that somebody would, and you know, a lot of women, when they get married, they don't even know how to cook. And then they try and they experiment and they learn, and now they're calling their mom and they're interested, and now they're using YouTube and watching, you know, Food Network and everything, because they have a sense, when I have a family, I want to feed them. That's something that is more important sometimes than we even appreciate. But here, as he is laying out things that make women treasured, one of them is that they can cook. Don't look down on that. Don't act like that isn't important. But then in verse 16, he says, she considers a field and buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. Later on, it talks about similar things. A woman at her best is also somebody who has a creative approach to business, who is thinking with wisdom about decisions to make, buying and selling. And I think a lot of times men are the ones who make most of the business decisions in a family, but we would do really well to listen to the wisdom of the women in our lives, because they bring a unique and creative perspective to it. This woman was buying and selling real estate. And we know from later in the chapter, she was also making some clothes to sell as well. She was approaching life and understanding business. I know guys who own businesses who their wife, you talk to their wife, and they have so much that they could offer in terms of wisdom in this area. And so often we as men just don't want to listen to it. And there are women who, in order to make ends meet, they're out there creatively trying to find ways of generating revenue to help contribute to the support of the family. And I want to honor you for that. A lot of times you look at, you know, going way back, women having their Tupperware parties, and now it's more like essential oils and things like that. And we can look at that and go, are you kidding me? You're not making enough money to even justify the time and expense to do this. And what do you need that money for? And what are you doing for it? Or, hey, here's how I'm making ends meet. But it's something that God has placed within women. Business is not just for men. Business is for women as well. And we see it here. And we want to honor that when it happens. Women shouldn't feel like they have to apologize, because they are looking for ways to generate income. It's a part of what a woman does. It's a way that she is designed. And to the extent that society excludes women from business, we suffer as a society, because women have a lot to offer in this area. And Solomon sees this as well. Now, you might go, come on, Bathsheba, she was just living off the king, right? But remember, when before David came into the picture, she's a military wife trying to make ends meet, not knowing when he's going to come back, no doubt working whatever business ways that she can, generating revenue any way that she can. That was her at her core. And just because she got to a point in her life where she didn't have to do that anymore, it's still important to look at it that you approach life in a certain way just from enduring those years. Maybe, ladies, you're not today having to go out and work, but you are still the person who did that. And your character was honed when you were doing that. And it's a good and it's a healthy thing. And it's something to look for and appreciate and honor in women. In verse 17, she girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. It's not saying that she's necessarily a bodybuilder, but what it's saying is she is strong. She has courage and conviction, but also she is fit. She takes care of herself. When you do your people watching, it's sometimes fun to just sit there and look at couples and think of, wow, now you can look at, sure, the woman's thin and all fixed up and everything because she probably hasn't worked a day in her life and the poor man has been working his tail off. But the truth is that more women really take care of themselves, really are conscientious about their health than men are. And it isn't just vanity. There's actually something in them that has a sense of, hey, and especially this is true after women have babies. It's like they're looking at themselves and going, oh man, I want to be strong. I need to keep up with these kids and I have to take care of myself. And I so, you know, I thank God every day as I'm driving and I see a mom with a little baby in one of those jogging strollers and they're running along and they're trying to get that weight off. And I think, that is such a cool thing. That's so amazing when women work hard to produce a kind of life for their family and to make their husbands and their kids proud and to then encourage them. A lot of times it bugs us when a woman just keeps pushing us to take care of ourselves, but she has that sense. She has that body image that, yes, our culture exploits that, but at its core, it's a really good thing that you realize your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's something that you want to take care of. And so she's pumping iron. She's working out.
We're receiving God's wisdom from the Proverbs right here on The Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Roth. It's part of a series called Smarter Living. And you can request a CD copy by calling 949-362-7475. I should also mention this entire series is available on a USB for a donation of $10 or more. You'll receive all 51 messages in the series that'll lead you to smarter living as you hear and learn to live by God's wisdom from the Proverbs. So call us at 949-362-7475 and ask for the Smarter Living Thumb Drive. Our programs are also available online at thebalancedword.com. Thank you for your support of the Balanced Word Radio Ministry. It allows us to bring Pastor Dave's teachings to stations like this one all across the nation. Donations can be made at thebalancedword.com. Dave Rolfe is the pastor of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. You can hear him teach on a Sunday morning at any one of these three times, 8, 9:45, and 11:30. Visit ccpacifichills.org for more information or to live stream. Check out Pastor Dave's one-minute messages, a great way to start the day. You can listen to them at thebalancedword.com or watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. Let's return to Proverbs chapter 31 for the rest of Dave's message.
Verse 19 says, she stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. The distaff and spindle were two things that were, well, this was pre-spinning wheel. The spinning wheel was invented just a few hundred years ago, 1500s, 1600s. But this is a way that they would make yarn to be able to make things. And what I see from this is this beautiful capacity that women have to be creative, to actually want to make things out of nothing, to make things look pretty just because, to have a sense of aesthetic and be willing to work hard. Hey, how many times, I can't even tell you how many times it's late and I've gone to bed and my wife is still up sewing or, you know, making things or hanging drapery or making pillows for our furniture and things like that. It's just God has given us women to be able to bring a beauty into our lives that, yes, we really don't as men appreciate it that much. Maybe we don't even think it matters because if, you know, all you have to do is look at a bachelor apartment and think, I would have still lived that way if God had not brought a woman into my life. But the truth is, that aesthetic, that creative sense, as much as it can sometimes be annoying, it enriches our lives in ways that we can't even fathom. And the thing about creativity is it blesses you without you even noticing it. It's just something feels better because of this creativity, and he saw that happening.
More admirable qualities of moms from the Proverbs coming up next time on The Balanced Word, a daily presentation of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel, online at thebalancedword.com.
Wake up my soul, wake up early in the day, wake up my hands, and the instrument I play with.